You're listening to Banal Leakage, Episode 17, Raising the Bar. Episode 17. Still sneezing here. I've grown so tired of how much I sneeze, which is about 20 to 30 times a day. I've groused about this in previous episodes, so not going to go too much more into it now. Fruit. I love fruit. It's not quite in season here yet. We bought some strawberries and watermelon the other day. They were pretty tart and not ripe at all. Give it a couple more months and they will be delicious. And with that, let's not waste any more time. Let's go into the news. Netflix increases profits and monthly fees. Nope, that just doesn't flow together, does it? Profits are higher. I think they have, they're up to 48 million subscribers, I think, if I remember reading the article right. They're going to raise monthly fees. So at this point, this is just for new users or new customers that... So those of us that are currently on Netflix or those of us that are longtime subscribers, I've been with them since 1999, are safe from a price increase for what they say will be, quote-unquote, a generous time period. However long that is supposed to be is anyone's guess. If I had to guess, I'm going to say 4 months. So don't hold me to it. Just throwing that number out there. The last time they did a price increase, users left in droves. They really kind of rocked the boat, so to speak, you know. It's not to say they can't raise prices, but when profits are high and users are pretty happy, why rock the boat? Why disrupt, a good thing here? So the last thing Netflix needs is to have a low approval rating like cable TV. Speaking of which, they just paid Comcast a tidy sum to free up bandwidth restrictions, which is also termed as extortion, you know. So net neutrality, all that kind of stuff. We'll save that for another podcast to go into all that. But I guess they're looking to these new customers with the raised fee to fund that extortion fee or bounty. So I like Netflix. I've been with them many years, but they really need to be smart these days, or otherwise they will find themselves with fewer fans and fewer customers. Atari ET game cartridges have been found. All right, so any of you that know anything remotely about this story, it's a 30-plus year urban legend in the video game industry. The legend and the stories were revealed to be true. So what was the story? So after the disaster that was the ET game for the Atari 2600 game console back in the early 80s, they lost a big sum of money on this thing. It was an unpopular game. The game was horrible. So they just wanted to get rid of the excess stockpile of these game cartridges. So they took them to a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and buried them, along with other 2600 cartridges like Asteroids, Defender, and Centipede. And then they covered the whole thing in concrete to stop trash diggers from rummaging through this video game trash here. So fast forward to today, or I should say last year, Microsoft wanted to fund an upcoming documentary on Atari, which part of the subject matter of this documentary was this urban legend of the ET games. So anyway, so this find, I have to tell you, I geeked out a lot when I heard the news on this. When I found, I was like, oh man, that would be so cool if they found these games, and they did. And so I'd heard the story for years. I mean, I had a 2600 back in the day, and the ET game. Yes, it sucked. It was that bad. It was even worse than the version of Pac-Man they did for the 2600. So yes, I was pretty pleased that This was a good thing, and it's going to be part of this documentary, which will be called Atari Game Over. So it's funded by Microsoft, so it should be out later this year. And you guessed it, funded by Microsoft. It's going to be exclusively only on Xbox One. How soon will that be pirated to other systems? Public racist remarks are seeing a surge or an increase here. So Cliven Bundy, the rogue Nevada rancher that's been fighting with his land on BLM land, dropped racist remarks this last week, suggesting black people were better off as slaves. Okay, let that sink in for a second there. Yeah, it's 2014, not 1952. Donald Sterling, the owner of the NBA team Los Angeles Clippers, was caught in a 10-minute rant with his girlfriend, objecting her to bringing black people to basketball games, amongst other racist suggestions to her. So, in the case of Cliven Bundy, his press statement was not directly related to his standoff with the BLM over years of free cattle grazing on public lands. You know, he was trying to make a point, but obviously his racist side kind of eked out in a big way. For Donald Sterling, the idea he would make such statements when black players are very prominent in the NBA. Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan, two prominent black NBA players, have come out and basically denounced his statements and are pretty harsh against him. Snoop Dogg didn't have kind words to say to him, basically dropping motherfucker a couple times in reference to Donald Sterling. You know, it's never been right to have these kind of statements made. It's never been right to have these kind of thoughts or actions. But, you know, back in the day before the Civil Rights was Act, they were common, unfortunately. But, you know, today it's 2014. Yes, it is. So why are there still those who hang on to these outdated and uncalled for positions against a certain race or people? You know, I thought gay was the new black. I guess these, you know, I guess these people are hanging on to their ancient fossilized ideas and their biased way of thinking. Not good. This week's rant, concert ticket fees. Ticketmaster and many other ticket agencies charge several fees for each ticket you purchase. So, you know, a ticket can start out at $25, and then after all the fees, it ends up costing you $43 for that one ticket. That's $18.50 in fees for a $25 ticket, almost reaching the cost of the ticket itself. So these fees include service charge for purchasing the ticket. Print tickets at home. Your own ink and paper. How's that? Holding the ticket at will call. Online convenience fee. Facility charge. Parking. Mailing a physical ticket to you, which, okay, I could see that one. Flash seats, which are, we have a local ticket agency, Smith Ticks, which basically your seats are tied to the credit card that you purchased them with. And regular convenience fees. It's all bullshit. You know, there are exceptions, such as in, you know, 1994 when Pearl Jam decided to take on and fight Ticketmaster. You know, I bought tickets. It didn't work out that well. Ticket companies like Live Nation and Ticketmaster are a monopoly and also own the venues and controlled ticket distribution. So, you know, any third-party ticket companies really have a hard time trying to break free. Now, for local markets, like here in Salt Lake, we have one called 24 Ticks, which I do like, and I have to praise them, since they only have one handling fee, which is usually like $3, sometimes up to $5. It just depends on the ticket. And that includes mailing delivery of a physical ticket to you. So, you know, they do get praise. There is sometimes the option of going to the venue and the ticket office there and purchasing your ticket, which there are no fees. So, strikes me as odd since there's an actual person that's doing actual work to order the ticket and hand it to you with a smile usually. So, fees for doing everything on your own or go to the venue box office, no fees, and You don't have to lift a finger except to reach out and grab the ticket when it's been printed and you've paid for it. So they need a serious adjustment here. Benny, Benny and the Jets. This week's shameless plug, Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road gets a 40th anniversary reissue. There's been two prior remastered versions of this landmark 1973 album. It's considered Elton's best to many fans, including myself. This 40th year remastered edition also comes with a second CD with remakes of songs like Benny and the Jets, which I was just kind of singing and listening to, this time performed by Miguel, and Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting by Fall Out Boy, amongst a few, another six or seven artists redoing some of the other songs from this album. Not bad, these remakes are okay, but I still prefer the original Elton performing the songs. In comparing this last version I had, which was the 1995 remastered album, there are some very noticeable differences, such as musical notes and highs, keyboards, guitars, things. It's obvious that this remastered version from when I had it was pretty good. They did a really good job in this, so I'm pretty pleased with this remastered version. So I never heard the 30th edition. The 30th remastered edition, which was obviously 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago. So I wouldn't imagine there would be much difference between it and this 40th edition here. So still, if you're a fan of Elton John and you do not have this album, you should go pick it up. If you're an ultimate Elton John fan, there is multiple versions of this, including an ultimate 5-disc set, which has actual DVDs of a 1973 concert, which he performed this album and other songs of his that came out before. So, highly recommended. It's only 1717. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.